Thank you, Lord. It's a good day to be alive in Thunder Bay. Praise God. I like that attitude. Glory to God. Well, there's a lot of walking going around and people trying to find what they're doing. Why don't we stand up one more time and thank God together as we pray. Go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says when you stand praying. So I guess we stand praying sometime. Sometimes you sit praying. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you this day for this word that's coming forth. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that's inside of us. We thank you, Lord, he leads and directs our lives, and we thank you for his leading. We thank you for the great witness on the inside of each child of God. I thank you for that prompting of the Holy Spirit, the intuition of the Lord as he gives directions, as he gives illumination to our hearts and begins to give us direction in our minds. Thank you, Father, as we make decisions today, may we know that we're on top of the game, that we're led forward with peace, and the joy of the Lord will be our strength. We thank you this day, Lord God, that you can lead us into places and lead us out of places, and that you know the beginning from the end. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We thank you, Lord. We trust that you are that. And you said that in your word in Psalm 139, that all our days were numbered. Written in your book. You know us from the beginning. And you know the very time that we were in our mother's womb. You called us and you separated us. And you've declared the days ahead that were before us. We thank you that your word says that the days, the paths of the just are brighter. It gets better and better as we walk with you. We thank you that you plan good things ahead of us. That there is no disaster and no death before us as we walk with you. We thank you this day, Lord God, for this will be a great hour and time of destination for all of us. And Lord God, we just submit our lives to you. We pray the prayer of submission and dedication and consecration. And Lord God, we say to you, may your will be done for our lives. And Father, we say to the devil, we're not following you. We don't follow your voice, but we follow the voice of our shepherd who leads and guides and protects us. We thank you, Lord God, for this great city that we're living in. We call it a blessed city. We call it a blessed city of all North America. And even out throughout the world, that there is prosperity and healing in this place. And that there's good people living here. And that great things are going to happen. You have great plans for the city of God here in Thunder Bay, Ontario. And this is a great move that's happening right now. It's happening right now in this hour, right here, in this place right now. And that you're going to move us from glory to glory, faith to faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God, you didn't put us here to be in disaster. You put us here to win. And he that wins souls is wise. And so we're putting out our net today. We thank you for those that are watching by television, that there's a great store in that place for them, Father. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Let's lift our voices and thank him today. Hallelujah. We praise you. Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, let me see your voices. Hear your voices. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. You can be seated. I'm glad you're obedient. Obedient. You're not like the devil's child. Amen. Well, I'm glad you came this morning. Because I'd have nobody to preach to here. I'm glad you decided to come. Those of you that are watching online, we thank you for showing up as well this morning. The Bible says, you know, God leads us in peace. If you're disturbed, there's something going on. If you're mad, there's something going on. It's not right to be mad. But you have to be glad. Amen? I want to ask you a question. Are you in the right path? Amen. Yeah. You look good out there. You got nice clothes on. You might be driving a nice car, but maybe you're eating stolen cars. Sounds like one of those songs that they put on. You're eating cars. Well, one preacher said, you know, if you don't tithe, you're driving a stolen car. God says, you know, You stole from me. Now some people don't like that, but because they're cheap, you know. They want to keep it all to themselves. No, pretend, just smile, pretend I'm not talking to you. And no one knows that's you. Anyway, I'm just kidding, but, you know, there's still truth. There's truth in that. Amen? That's why I got my wallet here, so my wife don't get a hold of it. Praise God. Anyway, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. I'm reading the King James Version. And really, I enjoyed that afternoon yesterday. They had some wonderful things going on here. People are you know, it's a good outreach to the community, I believe. It's not all this about making money. It's about reaching out to our community, being part of our community. We're just not inside those walls. Amen. And some people criticize. They say, you know, what are you doing selling stuff in the church? Well, we're not selling in the church. It's the hallway. Amen. Amen. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, $1,500, it's wonderful. But, you know, we need more than $1,500. You know, we need lots of money. And you cannot serve God without money. Without money, you can't go on mission trips. You can't put out signs. You can't drive, overseas. You have to fly. and so you got to have the money. You got to wear clothes and clothes for this, clothes for that. You ever notice that you have all kinds of clothes for different things? Or you just wear the same thing? You know, you got shoes for, you know, I don't wear work boots too. Pastor Dave, where are you? There you are. My throat is starting to get scratchy. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I think we better pray again. Did you find Proverbs? Yep. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. Let's pray. I think we better pray again one more time. No. Proverbs 4, 18. You know, we did a really nice teaching one night, I think Wednesday night. Somebody forgot to put record on. Oh, man, it was anointed. I just can sense it, you know, just that anointing is flowing. Woo! I'm just so happy. And everything was just lined up properly, you know. And God was doing something. And then I said, okay. Then we went to the studio to record the introductions and all the commercials and stuff like that. And we went there and they said, you know, I said, okay, use that peace one because that's the, you know, good message for the Christmas season. Because my wife and I go to the studio, we're going to introduce that and talk about what's going on. Then he said, oh, yeah, we're going to do that. Then someone called and said, you know, we can't find that. Are you sure what date? I said, yeah, I look at my date. That's the date right there. And he said, oh, no, something's going on. And somebody forgot to put the record button on. We're not going to mention any names. But we had to. No mention any names at all. We're not going to criticize anybody. Anyway. But we do say things generally. So whoever did it knows they're guilty. And they ought to be up here right now repenting. And so we had to redo it on Wednesday. But it was actually just as good, I would say. Amen. So you better catch the Christmas message. It's on peace, the peace of God. In fact, we wrote an article about it, and hope you get it. If you don't get it, pick it up on the way out, an article. And those of you that are watching online, if you want to get the article, just go online and just copy it or do something. I had one pastor call me. He said to me, your articles, I just preached those articles. It's pretty good. Amen? I just preached that article. So thank God that we're giving something away every day at Faith City Church. Praise God. Man, oh man, that our worship leader just almost flew right out of the place here. Praise God. Amen. She's really good, isn't she? Isn't she? Hey? Amen. I was thinking, man, I wish I had that energy this morning. I don't feel like even being here. But that, you know, I started to, by faith. I jumped on and I just, all of a sudden, I just started almost running around here. Did you find Proverbs chapter 4? Okay, Proverbs 4 and verse 18, the King James Version says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. Well, it says that our days ahead will get brighter and brighter. But I'm also told that if you're not a Christian, the days ahead are going to be darker. And the darker the world gets, the brighter we become. But it says, as a Christian, our light, or at least the path of the just, you know, we have a path. That God has a direct path for every single person. You know, everybody here that's in here right now, I mean, you're hearing me, but I want to say to you that God has a perfect path for you. There is duties and responsibilities and connections that you have to make with people, and God has a way for you. And this world, He has a plan for you. There is a vision, and there is a reason for your existence. You know, you're not just, you know, to go and get a job and work and make earn some money and put bread on the table. Those are good things, but that's not all you're supposed to do. You have a purpose that's a higher purpose than just to get food, which we will do after this. Amen. I can't wait. So, here's an idea. Every now and then, we all need to examine our ways, whether to know that we're on the right path. And the path that you're on, that God has determined for you, might not seem like it's the right path that you're on. You might seem like, man, this is what's going on here. You know, I'm going through hurdle after hurdle, closed doors, and all this kind of stuff going on. Path doesn't seem right. Yet again, those people who don't even care about God's path, they just do what they want to do. Even Christians, they just go to whatever church they want to go because, you know, they just feel that their friends have been there, their grandmas lived there all their lives, and yet God saved them. Now they have to make a decision on their own. And yet they're doing things, going someplace and doing things that God never determined before for them. And yet it seemed like it's the right thing to do. All because of tradition. And we can't just, you know, thank God for tradition. I mean, Christmas is a pretty good tradition to eat a meal together, get together and visit grandma and something like that, you know. Eat turkey. And so, but the path that sometimes that has been predetermined by God, people just get off that path because there's all kinds of interference. Sometimes your own self, your own flesh gets in the way. Sometimes it's the devil himself just try to deter you away from the perfect plan that God has for you. And there's a purpose for it and a connection that will build up the things of God and the kingdom of God. And now listen to this proverb, Proverbs 16:25, the King James Version. There is a way that seems right unto a man. Everybody say, seems right. Because sometimes you pick a plan, or, you know, we ask kids, you know, when they're little children, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And some kids say, like, I want to just be just like my daddy. I want to be like mommy. I remember when I was a little kid, I told my sister, I want to marry my mom. And you know, when you're a little boy, you fall in love with your mom. I remember seeing my mom, you know, I loved her. She would dress up and, you know, have these long, you know, in the 50s, how they dress these clothes. And I remember loving my mom. I told my sister, I love my mom. You know, the first person we fell in love with as young boys is our mom. Not as an adult. That's a different thing. But, I mean, we still love our mother, but in a different, you know, as a child, you got childish thinking. But sometimes when we do things, it seems right for a man. See, you know, Jeremiah said it's not in man to determine his steps. It's not in you to determine everything about your life. You have to check that out with God to see whether or not you're doing the right thing. You can check, you can Google that. It's in Jeremiah. You can go on your book there and understand that it's not man. It's not in you to determine everything about your life. You got to check it out with God. So it says here, it seemed right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In other words, it's never going to work out right. Some people make decisions that cost them their whole lifetime for different things. And you got to make the best of it and ask God to help you. You know, it's not right in some things. Now, God makes a distinction over here in our verse of Scripture. There's the path of the just and the path of those, he calls the wicked here, the Scriptures, outside of the things of the will of God. The Bible declares that there is a path, a right path, and a wrong path. If God makes that distinction in his Scriptures, then we need to make that distinction. We need to follow. We need to follow that and understand if we're on the right path. There are many blessings that go along with the path that God has predetermined for us. And of course, there are consequences of taking the wrong road, the wrong path. You know, when you're on the right path, you don't think about if you're on the wrong path. You just know you're on the right path. I mean, if you've made the right decision. And we need to stay on course. Ask yourself, what path are you on? What path am I on? The Scripture says there's better days ahead for the righteous, but tougher days for those who are on the wrong path. It doesn't get any better. In fact, the Scripture, the New Testament says there's going to be more harder times ahead. And that's why we need to stay closer to God. You might have a job right now, but maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week. Your health might be right now, real good right now. You say, well, I don't need to hear Pastor what he says about those healing Scriptures, you know, but all of a sudden now you got cancer. Now you got a heart disease. Now you got some kind of blood disorder or something that they don't know what's going on in you. All of a sudden, God's will seems more important to you. It's better to be, you know, walk in divine healing rather than to receive divine healing. Amen? So, there are perfect days ahead, according to the Scripture, blessings to look at. Proverbs 10:6 says, blessings are upon the head of the just. The blessings of God are on us. And thank God we can look to it. We're not looking to violence. Proverbs 4:14 says, enter not the path of the wicked. Proverbs 4:14. And go not in the way of evil men. So we can see here from these Scriptures that there's, you know, like you're saying, well, I'm not evil. Listen here, let's examine this a little closely. I mean, we always think about evil men. Well, I'm not killing anybody. I'm not selling drugs. I don't go and commit adultery. I'm pretty good. In my own eyes, let's ask your neighbor. Let's ask somebody close to you. And let's get an evaluation from them and see what they say. Sometimes we like to believe that we're on the right path, but, you know, sometimes we're not as good as we think we are. Huh? Just when we think, oh, man, am I ever good? Something happens. How can you tell if you're on the wrong path? Well, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says this, that you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. An unction. We need to function with that unction, right? there is an anointing on each one of us, inside of us, to tell us whether we're on the right path or not. Amen. And God leads you with that anointing. He teaches you things. He tells you stuff. And that means the Holy Spirit, this is talking about the Holy Spirit inside of you. God himself lives inside of us, and he's talking to us constantly. Some people hear God more often than other people. Other people just live purely by the natural, and they just do whatever feels good, and they live and be happy, and that's fine. But But there's other things. Sometimes, you know, when you follow God, things can be a little bit uncomfortable. He doesn't always lead you into the easy path. What about Jesus? Somebody said. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, that Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And there he had a confrontation with the devil, and he said, "Thus said the Lord." He knew the scripture, and he followed the word of God. We need to make sure that we know the scriptures so that we can determine whether or not God is talking to us or not. In fact, the devil told him, gave him scriptures, you know. If you are the Son of God, one of the things he does is make you guess or at least question whether or not, you know, God, you're a child of God or not. And he says, "You're not really a child of God, are you? You're not really going to heaven." You know, he likes to tell you stuff like that. Or, "I'm going to kill you." Well, he'll do that. So, when you're on the wrong path, you will get an uneasiness on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit is actually speaking to your heart. The Holy Spirit will reveal the truth about whatever is right or whatever is wrong in your life. He'll give you that witness. Now look at this in John chapter 16, verse 13, New Living Translation says this. When the Spirit, just as Jesus talking to his disciples, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Guide you. That anointing on inside of you guides you. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you whatever he has heard. And he will tell you about the future. It's amazing that Holy Spirit will know everything about your future from the beginning to end. And he wants to lead you on that path that's ahead of you. And sometimes, you know, like I said, you know, there are some sacrifices you have to make. I mean, we do suffer as Christians. Now, I'm not saying you have to suffer with boils on your face and, you know, you got a sore back, your fingernails are all falling off. We're not talking about suffering physically. We're talking about, you know, there's things you suffer. Sometimes you suffer to say no to things that you want to do that's wrong. Sometimes you do suffer persecution because people don't always, you know, the devil makes sure that he finds somebody who doesn't like you to tell you all about it. Even if you could be doing good things, the devil comes along and he rouses up somebody and they pick a fight with you. Especially if you're on Facebook. There's more opportunity there to fight with a lot of people. You ever notice that? Boston Bruins fans fighting against the Leafs. Leafs fighting against the Boston Bruins fans. One day when they're all on the parade, you know, Leafs won the Stanley Cup. They won one game only. Right? Of course, Montreal has to have a say something there. But the God that's inside of you will talk to you about a lot of things. He'll tell you the truth. Sometimes we don't like the truth. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was going to talk about this a little bit today. You know, we need to live truthfully. We need to live in truth. Follow the truth. And sometimes we exaggerate. We stretch out the truth a little bit. We add a little bit more than actually what it is. And, you know, we joke among ourselves. We said that's what evangelists do. They speak evangelistically. They stretch it out a little bit. There were 10,000 people there. You know, they stretch it out. Pastor said, you know, they stretch things out too. They raise so many funds, and they actually got more than they actually said. They stretch out everything. Sometimes we do this. We like to impress people. We tell lies in ways that are very sophisticated, and we say, "Oh, you know, I'm just glorifying my numbers a little bit." You know? So you have to watch it because you might tell a white lie, as they say. You ever notice everybody say white lies? There's no white lies. That means a little lie, right? And if somebody lies to you, it's hard to trust them again. You can't trust people who lie to you. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm just looking ahead. I'm just looking at Bill. He's looking down. And Bill doesn't lie. Now, I want you to see something here. That God will tell you everything about everything. He'll tell you stuff, and he'll prepare you if you listen. But some people don't listen to the Lord. They just do what they want to do. They just make plans and ask God bless it. They say, God, oh God, bless my plan. And I want to do this business. I want to do this, take this course. I want to travel over here, this missionary thing. I'm going to go here. And God's not in it. You know, Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. It means that those people actually got progress and they actually made success, but it was not, God was not in it. I want to be where God wants me to be. You know, so you're not afraid. You're not afraid if God's in something, you know. Now, let's go to Acts 27. We're going to see some here. This following illustration will show how Paul had an intuition that told him that there's something wrong about this plan. And the people there, Paul spoke to these people, the captain and those people that are running the trip and that. The Bible says they believed, the captain of the ship believed, the people there that's running, the sailors or whatever, whoever is running the place, they believed them instead of believing the man of God. Sometimes people come and ask me for advice, and they want me to agree with them, but sometimes I say, well, no, it doesn't seem like it's God. And they went and did it anyway. So here, he had an intuition. They should have stayed out of trouble, but you know, the Holy Spirit said there's trouble ahead. He told the captain, before they would sail out, but they would listen. And they brought all the trouble that was on the travelers and all the people that had stuff on, you know, they were putting stuff on the ship to sail across the sea, to merchandise, whatever it was. And it says here, let's go, in verse Acts 27. 9-11. I'm reading the New Living? Is that the New Living? We had lost a lot of time. How many people time is? Because of time, people make decisions and they want to rush through things. Impatience. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was now becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was too late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Men, he said, I believe that there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. Go down to verse 13 and 15. When the light wind began blowing, everybody said light wind. Because sometimes people go by these things, hey, it seems nice today to do this. You know, here's a statistic. They say that on nice weather days that are the brightest days and with the sun shining, there's more accidents on those days than anything else. Do you believe that? Well, I don't know. That's what somebody told me. Especially when Pastor Ken's driving. Something's going on. A light wind began blowing from the south, then the sailors thought they could make it. Everybody said they thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly. How many people know that things can change really quickly? Especially the weather. and the wind of a typhoon strength called Northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to the sea. Well, you don't want to be blown out to sea. Oh, my Lord, thank you, Jesus. So the sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. Verse 20 and 22, let's go read this. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, "Don't you hate this sometimes? You should have listened to me. Don't you hate those kind of people?" Paul said, "Man, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down." You know, it's amazing, you know. Listen, going on the wrong path, following, you know, your just natural instincts, your natural tendencies, not God, not your spirit, but your natural. I'm talking about your natural, your outer man. You're following your own mind. You're following your unregenerate mind and your physical flesh desires, and you just go and do that. And it looks good. Everything looks good at the moment, but there's disaster ahead. And so, you know, this kind of describes, you know, people just making decisions outside of the will of God. And they lost a lot of stuff. They lost cargo. They lost, imagine all the money they lost. Well, you know, I don't know if they had insurance back over there, but that could have been pretty traumatic, losing all your stuff. You know, I was down here yesterday seeing all these people, all these wonderful things people designed in this craft sale. Man, this is great creations. We could use all those people in this ministry. Great minds and a lot of stuff. And so imagine them losing everything. All the work they put into it. All the toil and all the whatever the monies they actually put into that. And they lost it all. So sometimes our own lives, because we're so impatient, we go ahead and make decisions aside, away from God's plan, and we went down the wrong road. And so we see here that these people did not listen to the man of God. And in this case, you know, they should have followed the Spirit. You know, a good signal in your spirit to move ahead is having joy on the inside of you. When you got joy on the inside of you, you know you're on the right path. And then when you have peace, you got peace on inside of you. It doesn't seem like you should be having peace, but you got peace on inside of you. That's a good indicator that you're on the right path. Scripture verifies this. Now, Isaiah 55, 12 says this, "For you shall go out with joy." Joy. Joy. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're being led with joy. Oh, yes, you feel like, you know, ooh, this is wonderful. I just feel so happy about this. Well, joy is more than happy, but you shall be led forth with peace. Peace on the inside. Notice it says, you know, it describes it this way. The King James describes it this. The mountains and the hills will break forth to singing, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands. When I got born again, that's exactly what I felt like. You heard me describe my born again experience, and all of a sudden, all the depression I had disappeared. And I was so happy. My life wasn't, you know, it didn't change. I didn't have a lot of money that makes people happy. I didn't have all my goals. You know, I was just so happy every day. Just so happy to go to bed at night just that I'm born again. Woo! Just so happy. I'm peaceful. I didn't care what was going on. I'm just so happy to have Jesus in my life. The peace of God. And as I said, you know, when I got born again, everything, you know, outside, everything was wonderful. Just like it describes in there. The sun was shining. Seemed to be shining on me. Hey? The sky was bluer than bluer, you know. As I mentioned, the dogs were more dog-ear, and the birds were just beautiful, happy, joy. That's what it talks about in here, these scriptures. You might not be, you know, right now you might not have all the best of stuff. You're born again, but you're happy. And the world can't give you this. The world can't give you this. You know, having a degree can't give you this. Having a nice car can't give you this. I said, you know, man, if I just had a car, I'd be happy, Lord. Then I got a car. Then came the bills with it. And you got to buy tires. And you got to insure it. And you got to polish it and clean it. But it's good to have a car. Then I said, Lord, if I just had a wife, I'll never be unhappy. Everything will go good. And I'll never have any problems. I promise you, I'll love her every day. And I got married and I fought every day. You know, it's funny, you know, you think you're, you know, I tell you, some of you, you're going to get married and you're going to fight like cats and dogs. You're going to learn, you know, some of you men, you're going to have to learn, lick your wounds and then be quiet. We have to get all scratched up. I learned to be quiet. You know, when that wife gets that look, gives you that look. You got it, man. You just go back to your pen. You know, you think, you know, in this church, you know, you think that Steve is great. His wife's even better. Amen. Thank God. Amen. But, you know, you think Kendra's the boss, but no, little feller, he's the one that's the boss. He runs everything. I was trying to think about little fella's name. I call him little fella ever since he was small. I was trying to post the thing. What's his name? I checked. I asked Hannah, what's his name? He said, it's Timmy. I said, it's not Timmy. So anyway, that's all I knew him by, little fella. So anyway, the following, there's another, you know, interesting story that comes along over here. And it's a story, you know, the Bible talks about here. Sometimes we run down the road, it seems like this is the right, correct path, but God might not be, you know, giving you that urge to run ahead. But, you know, we know that sometimes God tells you to go on a certain direction, and to your mind, it seems like the wrong direction. You look at it, you evaluate it from your natural logical reasonings. How many people know that faith has no logic in it sometimes? It's not logical. You look at it. And God will lead you some way. And you look at it, you add all the numbers. This shouldn't be working this way. If I do this, I'm going to lose money. I'm going to lose time. But you go ahead, you go on the inside of you, you're not listening to your head. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 said, trust in the Lord with all your head. No? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not in your own understanding. That's your mind. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's every way in your life, every part of your life. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. If you give God, consecrate your life and say, God, I'm consecrating my life to you. And I need an answer about what to do about this situation. And so I'm not going to listen to my mind. I'm going to follow my spirit. And there's times in our lives we had to do that. I had to do it. And I'm sure you had to. It didn't seem like it was the right path, but it's the right one. God's leading you. Now, here's something here. Paul relates a story in Acts 20, verse 22 and 24. You know, he's traveling with the Lord. Lord, let him. You know, in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says, I'm going to lead you. In Acts chapter 9, God says, I'm going to lead you, and you're going to go to all these places over here. And he says that a prophetic word was given to him. He said, I'm going to show you how you need to suffer for my name's sake. You know? Well, he did suffer persecution. People against him. How many ever, you sense, you know, somebody sometimes persecutes you and you feel like, you know, you want to quit. So he says, verse 22, Acts 20. Now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except the Holy Spirit tells me city after city, jail and suffering lie ahead. The King James says, the next verse said, but I do not count my life dear to myself. He says, my life is not worth living, nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord. He said over there, the King James said, nothing else moves me but the Spirit of God. You have to ask yourself, what's moving you in making your decisions? Is impatience moving you? You want to rush ahead of things. We all would like to have quick, easy answers at the moment, but sometimes you have to wait sometimes. Maybe you're moving ahead too fast. So in this situation, we know that the Lord was leading Paul, but the Lord gave him some instruction. He says, I want you to go this direction, but you know, there's going to be some tough time ahead of you. I listened to Brother Hagin over the years. He said, every time I made a huge move in my life, and when something dramatic happened to me, like a real, when I ever had a vision, and I heard an open voice of the Lord that came to me like you're talking to me right now. Every time I had a supernatural unction from the Holy Spirit and heard the voice of the Lord, I had a vision, he said there was always tough days ahead. I can tell you my own life that the decisions I made, I've had some experiences with God. I would have never stayed in ministry had I not had those experiences. I would have said, no, I'm going to just do what I want to do. And I was doing what I wanted to do. I was, when I was in university, over 1989, I was doing my master's degree and proceeding to do my doctorate. And had all my things, cards lined up, and I was going to just be a full-time professor. And the Lord came in the car and spoke to me. And told me, what's a PhD going to do for those people that I've called you to help? And my wife, you know, I went to talk to my wife and said, you know, the Lord spoke to me. I knew I had to finish my degree, so I finished it anyway. And so we went into the ministry. Left it all. Just like in 2 Kings chapter 2, the Bible says that this man Elijah was called to go to Elisha to confirm that he had a calling in his life. And the Bible said that he took his oxen that he was using and all his instruments that he had, and he burned everything. Some of you need to burn everything. Burn up your past and move on with God. It might not seem like the right thing to do, but it's the right thing to do, to go ahead. It doesn't seem right that Elisha took all his instruments of oxen and he burned everything. He slaughtered all the oxen and he gave everything, all the meat to the community. Some of us would have sold them. Huh? We said, we're going to have a sale today. Eh? You know, I think about this because, you know, sometimes we hear from God, but we misinterpret what he's saying to us because we add on our own revelation of what God told us. God says, you know, I want you to do this, and all of a sudden you start planning right that second. But God said, hey, hold on a moment. I got to teach you some other things before we go ahead here, over here. Gives you a little bit at a time. And I know if we would have got everything all at once, we would have wrecked everything. Romans 8:14 says this. We all should be led by the Holy Spirit with an inner witness on the inside of us. The Good News Bible says those who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. In other words, every one of God's people, God deposited in you His Holy Spirit. And He lives inside of us. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. That's been prophesied by Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Is one day I'm going to put my Spirit in every single person. And he comes to live inside of us when we come to Jesus. Verse 16 says of the Good News Bible, Romans 8:16 says, God's Spirit joins Himself with our spirits to declare that we are God's children. In other words, your spirit is going to know certain things. And also the Holy Spirit will come along on side of that. You know the word, when he witness, it means co-witness. You'll know something and the Holy Spirit will come by and say, yep, that's right, you're right. You'll know that on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit will come on top of that and he'll co-witness and say, you're on the right track. But if we listen to our heads only, we're not going to, we're going to have minimal progress and we won't go ahead the way we should be. And so Brother Hagin used to say, sometimes we've over-educated our heads at the expense of our spirits. We just listen to our hearts, our heads only. When Proverbs 3:5 says, the opposite. He said to listen to your heart, don't listen to your head. That's what Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says. That'd be a good status today. Listen to your heart. And doubt your head. So, first of all, you have a witness on the inside of you that teaches you about everything. We read the scripture. If you're feeling uncomfortable right now, that's a signal on inside of you. There's no joy there. There's no peace. If you've got an uncomfortableness inside of you, you feel like you're confused about situations. You feel anxious about it. You feel fearful. You feel strained on the inside of you. You feel pressured. Almost sometimes you feel condemned and guilty. And you're on the wrong path. Something needs to change inside you. God will lead you even to a difficult path, even through it, and you won't even suffer any harm. Holy Spirit will lead you out of bondage and back into victory. As we read, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The same way He told you that you're a child of God is the same way He'll lead you in other matters. If you ask any born-again Christian, how do you know you're saved? They say, well, I just know. Well, how do you know? I know that I know on the inside of me. How many people can say that today? I know that I know. But at the same time, the most important thing in your life is to know that you're born again. Yeah. And the most important things in your life, that's how He'll lead you in other matters. Yeah. Is that inside witness, the same way He told you that you're a child of God, is the same way you will know to make a business deal, to get out of one, to change direction, to do this, to do that, whatever it is. I knew the Spirit of God was teaching me, the younger you are in the Lord, the more you hear from God, because you don't let all these distractions inside of you. You learn how to trust God from the very beginning. When I always use this because that's a very huge decision for me. My wife, I don't understand why my wife married me. I'm actually just like, I didn't even know why would she marry me. I said, I'm just a loser. Loser. That's what I thought of myself. I messed up so much in my life. Why would somebody want to end up with somebody like me? I knew who I was. And God started leading me. And He's beginning to lead me. When I started following God, in Psalm 23, the Lord said to me, do you love me? He said, I love you, Lord. I remember with tears in my eyes telling God I love you. I was all alone. He said, you see that Bible? Read it. Read Psalm 23 or Psalm chapter 1-3. He said to me, everything you do, if you're walking with me, I'll make you prosper. I'll make you successful in everything you do. Psalm 1, verse 3 said, everything you touch will prosper. Then he gave me some Deuteronomy 28, and verse 6, 8, 11, 12. He told me that everything I touch will be successful if you follow me. He told me that. And the Lord said to me, he said, this is your wife over here. And I fought that I can't be my wife. That'll never work. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end of his death, I know God was leading in the direction. Some of you have the same experience. God's leading you. You know, when you, especially, you're young people and those people around here, maybe, I don't know if you're older yet, we try to impress people to make them like us. But God says, when you please me, I'll make people who are enemies against you love you and take care of you and bless you. I'll make your enemies bow to you. I'll make your enemies bless you. That's what he said. That's what God said. If you're at peace with God. I mean, I was not at odds with Anita, but the Lord said to me, that's your wife. The very first night we went out, the Lord said to me, you're going to marry her. And we knew that we were going to get married. Very first night. I didn't kiss her. Or I didn't, we didn't start getting. And the Lord told me, that's your wife. I said, okay. And we had a peace. We had a joy on the inside of us. And that was God's leading. The thing about it is that when God leads you in some kind of thing, You don't know it's God. You just kind of unsighted. Is this right or is? So you will go out with joy. The Bible says there earlier. If you're uncomfortable, you might have to change your course. And I need to stop right now. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think I gave you enough information for now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good. Amen. Amen. Say, the Lord is good. Say, his mercy endures forever. Say, the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Say, the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. God's faithfulness is new every day. His mercy is new every day. The Bible says, Lamentations says, God's mercy is new every day. If you made a wrong decision, it's not late. It's not too late. You can go take that car back tomorrow. No. I bought 3 bags yesterday of, I bought some, what do you call these, bean bags? I thought, this is wrong. I should be buying 3 bean bags. Never mind. Praise God. Amen. Lord, we want to thank you today that you are leading us right now. Even when we don't think you're leading us, you're there leading us all the time. You're urging us. You're giving us an inside knowing and an intuition. You're giving us direction. Thank you, Lord. Your mercy is new every day. And if we made wrong decisions, and Lord, we're just gonna submit our lives to you right now. We're just submitting our lives. We're coming to you, Lord God. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't even know if I'm on the right path. I don't know if I'm on the right path. Lord, I don't know. If I knew it, I wouldn't even know it. I'm going to ask you right now, just bluntly, if you think you're doing something wrong on the wrong path, I want you to come up here right now, unashamedly, with decisions you need to make. I think there's something I need to do. It might be in one area, it could be a whole mess of areas. If that's you. Thank you, Lord. Father, is there somebody here right now? Maybe there's nobody. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody. I'm just doing it because I'm a pastor. That's what I do. I ask you for direction. And so if there's somebody here right now, there's this decision you need to make, that's not too late. You can change the path. You can change your destiny. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Just go ahead and you come right now, and we're gonna change this. We're gonna change direction. You stand right here facing me. Thank you, Lord. This is gonna be a happy day. You're not gonna have shipwreck of your life like the people there in the 27th chapter. You're not gonna have shipwreck. You're gonna follow God 100%. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you, if you even think you have a doubt, just a smidging of a doubt that there's something not right about this. There's something not right. If that's you, I want you to get up here right now. Say, oh, you know, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Just a little smidging. Even if you think there's something there, you just go ahead and say, hey, maybe, Lord, I'm going to check this out. I'm going to just come here and consecrate my life. I'm dedicating my life today. Thank you, both of you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. God's speaking to people right now. The Bible says if we don't know what to do in our lives, we need to come back to the cross. We need to come back to the crossroads of life and say, God, I'm rededicating my life to you right here. Whatever it is, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I want to make sure that I'm in the right path. Thank you, Jesus.